Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff. With me, as always, is Mark Souza. And as always, we are in the free agency market in the MLB, and we are going to talk about other things in MLB, but mostly it's going to be off-season stuff, of course. But my main question to start the show is free agency boring and not as exciting as it is in the other leagues in the United States, such as the NFL and NBA? Because we are in the second month of free agency or third month of free agency. And the two of the biggest fishes in the pond, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, still haven't found a home yet. And honestly, the fan base and like everything else, no one seems very interested anymore. Don't you think that's true, Mark?
So me and Jeff do podcasts for a ton of different sports. This is what do you call this?
A shameless plug?
Shameless plug, yes. Shameless plug. Me and Jeff do a few podcasts on the GSMC Podcast Network. So if you haven't checked those out, please do. Sports, baseball, basketball, baseball, football, though. Fantasy football. Yes, I know, Jeff.
You silly goose.
Anyways, stop interrupting. Yes, MLB free agency.
What are you talking about? I don't interrupt.
MLB free agency is terribly boring, and something needs to be done to change it, because I think we can both agree that all the sports in the United States that have a free agency, it just seems like there's more action. Now
plenty
we're
to talk about.
Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, will they even sign anytime soon? We don't even know. We don't even know. This might be the most exciting MLB free agency in the last, 20 years, and it's still very boring.
Oh, yeah. And we say this because we plan out our shows every day and some of that. And most of our shows are very easy to do, especially on like...
Is this a venting session?
Yeah, it is a venting session. But like football is easy because of the playoffs. But even in the offseason, we have the draft and all that stuff. That's easy. MLB draft is not... no one covers that because AAA and all those in the minor leagues. And NBA is just the same exact way. When we do baseball, my lord... We have to think about it.
It's just not... There's just not a lot of action. So what can be done, I guess? What do you have any ideas or proposals to make this a more interesting time where, hey, the focus can actually be put back on Major League Baseball instead of us sitting here waiting to see who Bryce Harper's meeting with next?
We were talking about this, and maybe they should shorten the free agency market. Like, make it a...
Make it like a shorter window.
Yeah, exactly.
And like players can only sign like in this month, like January or something like that.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, waiting for so long to find out where each person's going, because we have no idea.
Something needs to be done. You know what? That's what we talked about before the show, and I'm trying to think if there's another idea, but I feel like There is a timing aspect, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing... God bless you, sir.
Thank you. There is a timing aspect to this, right? Like, we're watching NFL playoffs. We're watching hockey's in full swing. We're watching NBA's in full swing.
Right.
All the news that we're getting out of Major League Baseball is 75 teams are meeting with Bryce Harper in Las Vegas. Yes, 75. All the Japanese league teams.
I was about to say, like, what else is this? Even college teams are looking to sign him because for reasons.
They'll break all eligibility rules to try and get him to join.
Yes, yeah, seriously. But it's getting to a point where there's nothing to talk about. But there is plenty to talk about today. Don't worry.
There's stuff to talk about, but it's just so bland in the grand scheme of it all. When we talk about NFL... The NFL offseason, and I'm not saying baseball needs to be the NFL, but the NFL offseason is almost as much talked about as the regular season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look at the NFL draft.
The
off-season TV.
The offseason is sometimes even more entertaining than the regular season.
The NFL draft is 3 days. People watch at least the first 2 days of it. Then you have...
They had 100,000 people sit in AT&T Stadium for a draft where someone just walks onto the stage and says who's going to where.
When NFL free agency opens, how many players sign like right at midnight? Like a lot. Like there's a lot that goes on. Even the big names are signed relatively quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there might be a couple players that hold
some
out a little bit longer.
They mostly already know where they're going to go, where they're planning on
exactly,
going.
Exactly, right?
They don't know when it comes to baseball.
So what can be done? Shortening the window.
Yes.
But then what? What if a player doesn't sign in that window? They can't play in the major leagues that year?
We execute them. They can never play baseball again. Maybe it's tad harsh.
What is this, like North Korea?
Whoa, let's not get political here.
I don't think that's political at all.
I don't know.
That's just a world fact.
Yeah. Anyways, let's just say that they can only sign for X amount of money in a certain month. If they can't sign it by that point, then they lose money.
I feel like the Players Association wouldn't be.
Know, but God, so we've been waiting 3 months for these are two of the biggest. Free agent openings in a long time for the baseball, and nobody cares.
Is either one of them close to signing with anybody? Have you read anything? I have not.
The White Sox maybe with Machado because they signed his brother-in-law. I think that's who it was, and then his best friend. But I think even that was like maybe not even that.
That's just all speculation, though.
Yeah,
right?
There's no clear sign of who's going where, and Harper's still meeting with the Phillies and still meeting with the Nationals and still meeting with all these other teams. Everyone's going to Vegas just to talk to this guy. And what's the point if I'm frustrated by the fact that no one has made any moves. There's been a couple, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about it. The White Sox made a move.
Yes.
John Jay.
Yes, they signed Machado's best friend, which is obviously a hint at the fact they want Machado and they're trying to make everything in their power to get him, considering them at least.
So they now have John Jay. They have signed one of his best friends, a guy that he's close with in John Jay. And they also have his brother-in-law on the team that they just signed. So this is their push, right? This is their marketing plan for Machado. Hey, come home, family.
Probably the biggest push you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
Because seriously,
$4 million for John Jay, which seems
cheap. And they're probably gonna pay what, Machado $350?
Seems cheap though if it gives them a better chance, right?
Oh yeah. But I'm just trying to think of the fact that what are they gonna offer Machado? Obviously, what do you think? $350 would be a good deal?
Who knows?
Because obviously the White Sox have the money to afford him because you need at least $320 to sign him?
At this point, that's what we hear, but it's very unclear, right? Like, we don't know how many years and how much money it's going to take. We just know that it's going to take. We expect that Machado and Harper will be the highest paid players in baseball when it's all said and done, but we don't know what that number will be. And it kind of feels like they're both waiting until the other one signs.
And then they get more?
Seems like it. Because the second one to sign will get more money, right?
But neither of them are going to do anything then. It's going to just be an endless circle of nothingness.
It would make sense that they would kind of wait for the other one to sign, because the one who doesn't sign first, if a couple teams missed out on the first guy, they might up their price for the second one, so they get some, like the Phillies. Remember the Phillies said like we have to get one of these guys at least. So if they offer $350, maybe
none.
They offer $400 for the other one, you know, because
they might not get either of them, to be honest with you.
That was kind of where I was standing at.
Yeah. And I would be honestly shocked, because they've been pushing so hard for at least one of these guys. And there's even talk about them getting both, which would be insane. But honestly, like, who knows what's going to go down?
Do you know that the payrolls in Major League Baseball decreased by 18 million last year.
That's pretty low. Or that's pretty intense. That's pretty
the
insane.
The first decrease in 10 years. Are you surprised by this?
A little bit, but I understand why. Makes sense. Because people are getting some, there's some serious money being thrown around.
However, the Major League Baseball teams, they saw a record revenue of $10.3 billion for 2018. So the revenue went up to a new record, but payrolls decreased for the first time in 10 years. It kind of seems weird, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I think it just... I guess it's a gray area when you look at it, like between revenue and like payroll.
So it makes it's hard to real like understand why. It kind of makes you think that this year there will be an uptick in salaries, but I think Machado and Harper will affect that greatly. Obviously.
Oh yeah.
What do you think the combined number will be for Machado and Harper, their total contracts? Don't worry about the years, just the total money. What do you think it would be combined?
I'm going to say up to $900 million.
$900 million.
Maybe $850. It's going to be up there. That's a lot.
Give me $750.
You don't think, okay, so $900 would be
like
around.
Somebody gets $400 and somebody gets $350.
I was thinking like one gets even up to 420 and one gets like 380.
It could possibly happen. I mean, who knows? It's all about that first one. If that first one's 400, then
that
it's
one's gonna be 450. Yeah.
If the first one's 350, then probably a second 400.
Can you imagine if there was someone that if they do 450 and 500? I know that's like totally. That's a long shot, but that it's still a. Isn't that insane that a $500 million contract is a possibility?
I think we might see it. It could happen. I mean, if it's
I'm going to say in the next 5 years, we're going to see a $500 million contract.
Who would it be? Judge?
Did Mike Trout recently re-sign?
He did.
How long was that?
He signed that really long contract, didn't he?
Yeah. I'm just saying, if he asked to be released, he would get it.
I don't think
Judge is going to get 500. Maybe it's going to be
but right now
to 400.
He's like the number one selling jersey in baseball. He's young.
Okay, it's because it's a Yankees jersey.
Right.
There's no name on the back on the home jerseys, and it's Yankee pinstripe.
Right.
So maybe it's not just because of him. It's just because it looks cool, and the number's cool.
So Mike Trout will be a free agent after the 2020 season. So he has two more years left where he's making $33 million a year. Each of the next two.
So in 3 years when he's a free agent, I'm saying he's getting at least $500
million. He's 27
million.
Years old. So
oh,
he'll
yeah.
He'll be 29.
$500 million is not far-fetched for him. The best player
by
in baseball?
The Yankees.
I wouldn't even say the Yankees.
He's from New Jersey. He's definitely going to the Yankees.
I think he's going to go where the money is.
New York.
Yeah, and if New York does, if someone else offers $500 million and the Yankees are offering $400 million, he's going to $500 million. Regardless where they are. It could be the Indians. It could be, I know it's possible, but like, you know what I'm saying? It could be a Florida team for all we know. Who knows what's going to go down?
Mm-hmm.
That's unpredictability. But I think if anyone's going to get a $500 million contract, the first guy is going to do it. It's going to be Mike Trout.
I would assume so. It just the only thing that I would say is holding that back is if Mike Trout was 25 or 26, absolutely. I'm not saying that 29 is old, but it does make you think, is he going to get 10 years? Is he going to get
seven
years? You know, because the years actually do make a difference when you say $500 million, right? Like if he's making $33 to $34 million the next 2 years. Okay, let's say he makes 33 a year. For the next 10 years after that, that's still quite a bit lower than $500 million. He would have to make $50 million a year for 10 years to get a $500 million contract.
So my like
it's
make
possible.
That,
it
make
just
that
makes
like a
it,
7 year contract, which is probably what he's going to get by the time he's 29. So that would be
probably
what,
like a $300
million dollar a year to get. I'm saying to get the $500 million.
Can you imagine one player making $65 million a year?
Like it's going to happen. Eventually.
But will we see a jump that? Because, like, Harper's got to be the most valuable free agent of all time, right? Because how many players hit free agency at this age? They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't. It's usually late 20s, right?
Yeah.
But he started playing in the Major League Baseball so young that he was able to complete his first deal very quickly.
Fair enough. But what's the highest we'll see this season? Like, between Machado and Bryce Harper, what's the most you'll see in a contract? 450, or do you think 400?
450, I think, is probably even too high. I'd say 425, if I had to guess.
Okay.
It really makes you wonder, though.
Yeah.
Because we're all just guessing right
because
now.
Because there's going to be at one point someone's just going to get desperate. You know what I mean? And just say, screw it.
Yeah. But anyways, we have a lot to talk about. Segment two, Madison Bumgarner, he could be on his way out. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about an interesting stat about payroll and how it pertains to winning championships. We'll talk about David Wright and his future. It won't be playing, but he does have a role in baseball. We will check in. I'll have Jeff check in on the latest in the Machado and Harper, who they met with last. We'll also take a look at, we'll talk about maybe the most disrespectful home run celebration of all time.
Hands down.
That I hope we see in Major League Baseball this year.
If that happens in the MLB, we will see the biggest fight. We would see blood spilled.
I still think he's still that player that we'll talk about hasn't made it to home plate yet. Like, I think he's still walking around the bases right now. Waving at everybody.
Can you imagine if someone was just legitimately just walking around the bases, how pissed off everyone would be?
We'll tell you who that player is and how you can find that video when we return. But before we do that, I need to talk to you a little bit about audiobooks. Audiobooks inspire us, motivate us, and bring us closer. I love to listen to them as I'm driving to work every day, and also when I'm doing errands around town. I got to just get those done. But you know what? I like to listen to an audiobook. I can do two things at once by doing so. Where do I do that? I do that with Audible. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, and now Audible members get more than ever before. Each month, you get three titles of your choice, one audiobook, two Audible originals, and fitness programs that you can't get anywhere else. There's never been a better time to experience Audible. Try it free for 30 days by visiting audible.com/GSMCbook or text the code GSMCbook to 500-500. Start your free trial today. You get that free trial for 30 days. We'll be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We finished talking about the free agent market. Now we're moving on to
the trade market.
Yeah, but we talked a lot about the disrespectful home run. I think we should start with that, though, because we talked about that a lot before we went to break.
Williams Astudio. Remember the name. Williams Astudio.
Yeah, probably the most hated man in baseball at the moment.
I bet you Bumgarner watched this. Speaking of Bumgarner, watched this video and was like, "I can't wait till I hit this guy in the upper body with a fastball."
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
So this guy hit a home run last night.
He went on his knee and started like dancing.
No, but first he's leaning on the bat. You got to talk about that. Him leaning on the bat like that. Look at this.
Jerk.
Look
I'm sorry.
This.
It's
look,
such a
leaning
jerk.
On the bat. Watch this. Watch.
How was no one like choke like giving
oh
him like
my
a?
God.
How is no one giving him like a neck breaker?
He couldn't be bothered. He's just leaning on it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. How is the pitcher or catcher not getting in his face?
All right, so
if that happened against like any team in the MLB, there would be a fight.
So go on Twitter Blood would be and drawn. Type in Williams. That's like Williams, but with an N. Williams Astudio, Astudillo. He hit a home run. What league is this in? It's in the Venezuelan Winter League. He has a blonde perm, by the way. That's his haircut. He has a blonde perm. So adding more panache to all of this is his hair, which I find funny and makes complete sense.
What does that mean?
I mean, a guy that did that flamboyant of a celebration might have a blonde perm. Like, I'm just saying. Like, it makes a lot of sense. His hair is permed and blonde. That's not his natural hair, let me tell you.
Oh, no way. Perm and blonde, that's not natural.
He's killing it, by the way, hitting .325. This happened in the postseason. I'm trying to find out what team he plays for. Who cares? He hit... That was a game-winning home run, by the way. That was a walk-off, and he took his sweet little time walking off. That's for sure. Check it out.
It's a little too long. It was a good 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
What?
Some breaking news in the NFL. But
yeah, I saw that as well. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so going back to... Yeah, check out our football podcast, by
the way. Check out our sports podcast and football podcast tomorrow for that. That's going to be good stuff.
I guess we should talk about Bumgarner.
We should.
The Giants and Brewers have engaged in talks. We hear that it's preliminary, that it's not anything that will happen probably in the next few days or next week. It says, you know, according to many sources, that this, especially John Morosi, he seems to be big onto this story, but the Brewers are the most likely destination for Madison Bumgarner, but they still are very early in talks. Sounds like the Giants will be looking for a lot in return in terms of prospects. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff are two names that could headline a package that would come back in return for Madison Bumgarner. From the Brewers' perspective, what do you think about a trade for Madison Bumgarner?
I think this is them thinking they can get over the hump.
It's an aggressive move.
It's to get them back to the NLCS and get them to the World Series. That's what this is about.
So the Giants have a need at outfield, big time. I think we can both agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
The Brewers have one of the deepest outfield, I guess, franchises. They have prospects. They have major league players. You know, they have Kane. They have Christian Yelich, MVP.
But let me ask you. Will they get rid of Christian Yelich? Probably not.
No. But they have the ability to offload a couple of their younger players. Because it will be hard for a few of them to, you know.
What are you sacrificing for Bumgarner? What's your biggest sacrifice?
So of Milwaukee's top six prospects, three are outfielders. Their number two prospect, Corey Ray, number five, Tristan Lutz, and number six, Joe Gray. They already have a bevy of good young pitching talent. So it would probably be a deal that would consist of one of Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff or both. If it was both, that would be probably an incredible steal for the Giants because both those guys are highly touted prospects. And they're both about that time to come into their own in the major leagues, 24 and 25 years old. Now, maybe the Giants are looking for one or two outfield prospects and one or two pitching prospects. If that were to happen, I think the Giants would actually pull the trigger on that. They needed an influx of talent, and Bumgarner's on the last year of his deal. That's the reason why the Giants are even considering trading Bumgarner, is that he is still one of the lowest paid players in the MLB, considering his output, considering what he's done. We're talking about a three-time World Series champion. We're talking about a World Series MVP. Yet, I think he's making all like $8 million this year. It's super low.
It's his rookie contract.
It's like ridiculously low what they've been paying for him.
Well, I mean...
I get it. I mean, That's what they signed for. But the Giants, and then their extension to him...
What a great life you have when $8 million is low. $8 million a year is low.
I mean, if we were to take the pitchers in baseball the last 10 years and put up what they made compared to their what they've done, Bumgarner has to be number one in terms of lowest paid. Like, has to be. He won 3 World Series and a World Series MVP. Clayton Kershaw, those guys have been paid and paid again and again and again.
Kershaw hasn't had any World Series rings to prove it.
And then other guys, too. Greinke, paid twice.
Like, and still no World Series ring to prove it.
A lot of these guys are just paid and paid.
He's probably the most successful pitcher in baseball right now, World Series-wise.
If he retired today, would he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. No question.
There's a question.
No, there's absolutely. What are you talking about?
He's played long enough?
No, that doesn't matter at all.
It matters.
It matters the impact he had on the game, regardless.
I mean, it matters.
And longevity has nothing to do with it.
I'm not sure if I can name a pitcher who's played like that short of a career. And
well, no, yeah, of course not. But what I'm saying
longevity
is,
makes a difference, man, in any sport.
Okay, and from 2010 to 2019, he's won 3 World Series, World Series MVP, NLCS MVP.
Great.
He's single-handedly took the team in the World Series in 2014. How do you not put him in the Hall of Fame? And people say his performance in 2014 arguably was the greatest pitching performance in playoff
right,
history.
Relax,
so what
breathe,
are you talking about?
Breathe.
No, I'm upset because you're an idiot for saying that.
Breathe.
How dare you? How
breathe.
Dare you say that?
Is he Hall of Fame caliber for a 9-year period? Sure, absolutely. But he wouldn't be 100% voted in. Like, he wouldn't be a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
Has anyone ever been 100% voted?
I think it has been happened before.
Like, not even a handful of times.
Mariano Rivera, did he just get voted in 100%?
I don't think that was 100%.
But I mean, you know what I mean. Like, okay, not... We don't have to focus on the 100%. I'm talking about, yes, he might make it on the first ballot. He might not make it on the first ballot. I don't know.
He will make it on the first ballot.
But
there's
longevity,
no
you can't argue that longevity doesn't matter. Longevity absolutely matters.
Yeah,
it
but
absolutely
not,
matters.
But when it comes to Bumgarner's career, that should not matter because of what he's done in 9 years.
I understand what you're saying, but it will matter to other people.
And... regardless of when he retires.
Does 3 seasons... Because, yes, he's been good in his other seasons, but he's not like a Cy Young winner. He's not... If he retired today, he wouldn't be anywhere near the top of the list of any statistical category.
Well, why do we say he's going to retire now anyways?
I'm not... The question was, if he retired today, would he be a Hall of Famer? That's all I'm saying.
I still agree with that. I still say yes. Maybe not... I'm saying he'll be voted in.
But really, the only thing that... people would say would go off of is 3 World Series, 1 World Series MVP, right? Like, they couldn't say, well, he led the league in strikeouts for 2 years. He also was a Cy Young winner.
It's not just about awards. It's about performance. And his performances in the playoffs have been legendary, legitimately legendary.
I agree with that. But there are players that have been legendary in other sports, too, and in baseball for a couple postseasons, but not necessarily are Hall of Famers, right?
I would. That's debatable as well, but I think it's more along the lines of like, and he's done it without like controversy. You know, there's been a lot of players that have had great performances with a lot of controversy.
You mean like PEDs?
Yeah, and like Roger Clemens is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. But like, Curt Schilling had performances this legendary, guaranteed Hall of Fame, and Randy Johnson the same way. And when you look at those guys. I can see a lot of Madison Bumgarner in them.
So guys that will probably be on the ballot when, you know, we don't know when he'll retire and all that, but...
What is it, 4-year period?
His era, Kershaw, Scherzer, Verlander, those guys will be...
He's ahead of Scherzer.
Maybe.
I don't see him. I don't see Scherzer. If it's between Scherzer and Bumgarner, it's going to be Bumgarner. Based off success, Bumgarner. They faced each other in the World Series. One guy lost the crucial game. One guy won the game. So put that in perspective. So if Scherzer gets in before Bumgarner, I would call that a foul.
I mean, obviously, he's not retiring, so we don't really need to
discuss
it that heavily. But I don't think he'd make the Hall of Fame if he didn't play baseball again. I think he would definitely need a few more years, 3-4 more years of just being good. Like, he doesn't have to be great. He doesn't have to win another World Series, but he does have to play for a considerable amount of time. Like, he can't just play We can't put somebody in the Hall of Fame based on 3 years. We can't.
And why not?
I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, why not? Well, because no one's ended their career that soon.
Because a Hall of Fame career is more than just what you did in a 2 or 3 year period. It's about
it's the impact you had on a game.
On a generation. It really is. It's a generational thing.
If you named the greatest pitchers of this generation, Madison Bumgarner would be considered on that list.
Probably. But a generation spans longer than 5, 6, 7 years, in my opinion.
That's the impact he's had.
I know that you're going to disagree, but Kershaw would be a more surefire Hall of Famer right now than Madison Bumgarner.
People would also debate that because of his success in the postseason.
Now, I understand.
People don't really remember the regular season. They remember postseason.
I understand what you're saying.
There's
but
been
if,
so many
if both
guys
players
that
retire
on.
Today, Kershaw would make the Hall of Fame over Bumgarner. For a fact.
Based off like Cy Young's? Yes.
Yeah, because he has the numbers and stats matter. Like they do. They do matter. I know that what you're saying... Championships matter. They do too. But like Cy Young,
I
winner,
feel like they would
both
lead
the league
in
strikeouts.
If they both retire, they would both
2.2 ERA or whatever Kershaw's ridiculously low number is on in his career. Now, if you're asking who would you rather have in a game seven, I think everybody would say Bumgarner. Nobody would argue with you there.
Yeah, that but shouldn't even be a question.
If the Hall of Fame was only based on clutch, Bumgarner's first time, first ballot, 100% in. No questions asked. He's like fourth in career postseason ERA. It's ridiculous. But, you know, other things matter other than that. No, yeah, I want to talk about I want to talk about Bumgarner's next contract because he's somebody who's probably going to get a lot of money, right?
I would say at least $250.
No club that has committed more than 20% of its payroll to one player has won a World Series since 2003. I will ask you if you know which team that is.
2003,
this team won the World Series.
The Florida Marlins.
And who was the player that made 20% of their...
Was it Beckett?
It was not.
Was it... Let's see. Was Cabrera on that team?
It was not him.
Who the hell was it then? All I know is Josh Beckett dominated that series.
This has a... I am giving you this trivia question, but the clue is this player... has ties to the San Francisco Giants. To the current San Francisco Giants.
Like, he's on the team?
This person has ties to the current San Francisco Giants. That is your clue.
So he could be anything, though.
Very close ties to the San Francisco to the current San Francisco Giants.
This
player does not play in Major League Baseball anymore.
So he's a manager of some kind. He's not obviously not Bruce Bochy. that's what
he was coaching the Padres back then, right?
In 2003, maybe. I'm not entirely positive.
Anyways,
I have no idea.
Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah, like I would have guessed that.
But what's his connection? His son is the starting pitcher on the Giants, Derek Rodriguez.
Oh my gosh. That is such a distant connection. Not a
that is a
connection.
Really good trivia question.
That
by
is
the
a
way.
Close. You say it was a close connection. That's not close.
His father.
Yeah.
Is Pudge.
When you talk about connection with the Giants, it sounds like he's in
Man,
the organization.
You need more coffee this morning. You're getting real grumpy.
No, when you say close connection with the Giants, that's obviously saying, oh, he's part of the organization.
The player's
somehow.
Dad doesn't have a close connection with the team.
You
not don't
as
think
close.
He's following the Giants on a daily basis?
When you say very, that means like he's in the organization.
You don't think he's following the Giants on a daily basis?
Yeah, but when you, okay, if you said, okay, this guy's got a close connection with the team, it's not like, oh, I'm thinking of relatives. No, I'm thinking of like he's in the organization.
Do you have a close connection with a player that plays for Alabama?
Yeah, but that doesn't, okay, I have
he's
a close connection
friend.
With the player, not close connection with the organization.
But he's a friend, right?
Yeah, but you said they're close. You said a close connection with the Giants, not close connection with the player.
That may be true, but you're not related to him either, so it's kind of.
But you just admitted you said it wrong. You said that he says close connection with the organization, but it's in reality the close connection with the player that's involved in the organization.
I can't believe that you're arguing this because you didn't get the answer right.
And how do I know who? But you admit. I think you should admit you worded it incorrectly.
No, I won't admit to that.
Okay, well, we will have to talk about that later. But right now, I got to talk to you about something else, and there's something about better that make we should get closer by, and that's
maybe,
Audible.
Maybe I should read about close connections.
Maybe this will bring us closer. That's Audible. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, and now Audible members get more than ever before. Each month, they get 3 titles of their choice. 1 audiobook, 2 Audible originals, and fitness programs they can't get anywhere else. There's never been a better time to experience Audible. Try it free for 30 days by visiting audible.com/GSMCbook or texting the code GSMCbook to 500500. Remember, if you want to try Audible free for 30 days, go to audible.com/GSMCbook or text the code GSMCbook to 500500.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. We just finished talking about Bumgarner's potential trade to the Milwaukee Brewers in the future, as well as some other news in the trade market. But as of right now, we are still on the Machado-Harper watch.
I have a question for you.
Go for it.
Will every NFL team have a new head coach before Manny Machado or Bryce Harper are signed?
There's four left? I wouldn't be shocked.
Usually all the coaches are signed by, like, the day after the Super Bowl. Like, the last one usually signs, like, the week after.
I would say even the day of sometimes.
What is the timeline for Machado and Harper? Do you know?
I don't. I just know everyone's going to Vegas just to get him. Like, no one's thinking, oh, you come to us. No, we'll come to you.
Yeah. So, Chris Duncan.
You mean Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan? No,
I'm kidding.
This is the baseball podcast, my friend.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So, sad news. Former St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Chris Duncan. He has to take a leave of absence from his radio job because he's battling brain cancer.
Yeah.
37 years old, which is unfortunate. His mother had the same disease. And passed away, sadly, in 2013 at 64 years old. So here is our best thoughts and wishes going out to the Cardinals and Chris Duncan at this time. Hopefully he can beat this and get back to working in radio, doing what he loves, and living a happy life.
Yeah, absolutely. We wish him the best, and hopefully he makes
scary
a full recovery.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe not so scary news, but CC Sabathia, Yankees pitcher, he has been cleared to resume working out. He had a little heart procedure done. He had a stress test also, and he was cleared to work out. So I'm not sure what that procedure was. I think he had a blockage of some sort. Scary stuff, man. We were talking about brains and hearts and stuff makes me a little queasy, you know?
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's a sensitive subject for sure.
And you know, CC Sabathia has always been regarded as somebody who's like a little bit overweight, maybe doesn't, I don't know, take care of himself as much as other players. You know, you don't like to speculate on that sort of stuff. We don't really know what he does, even though people can say whatever they want. Yeah. But hopefully he can be healthy. And mm-hmm. He's 38 years old, so I think he's got a couple of years left that he can pitch. Obviously, he's not as strong of a pitcher as he was earlier in his career. He's definitely on the downside. But, hey, he is a player that can be a 4 or 5 for you, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't think there's any question about that.
Severino, Tanaka, James Paxton, J.A. Happ, and, of course, Sabathia. Also, something we need to talk about. The Yankees are trying to trade Sonny Gray.
They haven't
had a partner for him yet. 11-9 with a 4.9 ERA. He's been bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been...
I remember when they traded for him.
Is mediocre the kind word
I don't even know if I'd say mediocre.
You say even
worse.
Like,
yeah. That's like...
I'm just trying to use the nice.
11-9 with a 4.9 ERA. Like, mediocre is, like,
4.9.
Yeah.
Jesus, my...
That's generous.
That's brutal. God, yeah, but what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to... What are you going to do about it? You can't really do much. You can only hope he gets better, or you can get something for him. Or you just cut him outright.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So,
I know I just said the three obvious answers, but I'm just saying, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, there's not much you can do.
Where will Sonny Gray go? Where can he go?
What's a team that can afford, like, patience, I guess is the right word. Miami.
Miami.
I'm just guessing. And I don't know. It's an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we all just sit around and wait for Machado and Bryce Harper. Isn't it like, I feel like Harper's going to go to the Dodgers, right? Like, after they made that trade and cleared up the cap space, isn't it a foregone conclusion?
I wouldn't say so. If it would have been, it would have been happened by now.
Really? You think so?
I think it would have,
Or do you think Harper, I mean, Harper holds all the cards because he knows that everybody's trying to get him, so he can take his time. Philly's contingent is making the trek to Las Vegas this weekend to visit with Harper. They're obviously one of the teams still really in the race to sign him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everyone's bending over backwards to please this guy and like going to.
So his going house, going back basically. To our discussion of no club that has committed more than 20% of his payroll has won a World Series since 2003. Any team that signs Harper or Machado, or you think they'll have a chance to win or kind of break that what 15-year streak?
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
What is your thought on teams paying that much money to one guy?
Sometimes the guy's worth the cash. Just sometimes.
Sometimes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, there is an article
and
by Jim Bowden in The Athletic.
Okay.
He says there's really only four teams that are in on Harper.
Really now?
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Do you have a idea of who those four are?
Is it the obvious?
Let me take a look here. Let's pause it real quick. The four teams are the Phillies, the Yankees, the Nationals, and the White Sox. Those are the four teams said to not just be all in on Harper, but also Machado as well. What's your first take from hearing those teams?
Those teams were what I was expecting. You know, like just the team with the most money to do it, and like the teams that have been pushing it the hardest. Those are the four teams that have been pushing harder than anyone else.
Yeah, and according to the article, Harper will likely be a National or Phillies player, and Machado will be a White Sox, Philly, or Yankee, one of those three. So Phillies are the one team in on both. I don't know, man. I still think the Dodgers are going to do it. Now, according to this article, and again, it's in The Athletic by Jim Bowden. According to this article, he states the Dodgers just aren't going to get anywhere near 10 years. That they will offer Harper the most year-to-year money, but he won't get more than 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that's...
But that he would make more money year to year, but he'd have less of the guaranteed.
Total.
What do you think about that?
So I guess the question is, what does he prefer, year to year or total?
It's hard to. If money is the object here, it's hard to say I'm not going to take your $350 million so I can play for $150 million for the next 4 years. You know, like it just is.
Yeah.
Because you get that long-term security. What if you break your leg? What if you break your arm? What if you tear your ACL? What if you get hit by a pitch and it changes your career? Like, things happen. And as good as Harper is now and how young he is, a couple hundred million dollars is a couple hundred million dollars. Like, let's be real. If it was if it was a few million, if we're talking about even 50 million, that's different.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a lot of money to just say, nah, we're good.
Yeah. But anyone's going to be trying to convince him as much as possible to go with their team. So they're, it's one of the things where it's like, yes, we'll give you this and that. And even though you won't get this, but we'll give you this and that. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just where we can't give you what you want, but we can give you something close to what you want.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you can sing stupid songs and I sing.
That's even stupider than stupid.
What are you talking about?
We're going to take a break and I'm going to have a
Spice Girls?
Yes, Spice Girls.
We're not taking a break.
We need to, actually.
Fine. We're riding this thing out.
Fine. Go. Do something. Talk.
David Wright.
I have a massive headache and it's actually starting to kill me.
You are a massive headache.
I know, but
Has anybody ever told you that?
Yes, trust me.
Who?
Everyone I know. Anyways.
Ouch. I take it back. That's mean then.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say things that are true, like, when they're mean.
Yeah, but I do have a massive headache, and it's really hurting, so this.
Well, David Wright, he has taken a job with the New York Mets in their front office. He'll be a special advisor to Mets Chief Operating Officer Jeff Wilpon and General Manager Brody Van Wagenen. So, what do you think about the Mets adding David Wright, obviously a club legend for them, to their front office?
What's he going to do exactly? Do we know?
Well, I just told you. He's going to be a special advisor to Mets Chief Operating Officer.
Well, I meant, like, what does that even mean is what I meant.
It's the Dwight Schrute position of the New York Mets.
So it really has no meaning.
You love Dwight Schrute and his, what is his title? You always say it. Go ahead.
Assistant to the regional manager.
The assistant to the regional manager.
Or assistant regional manager, depending on who you talk to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you know that he was owed $27 million over the next two seasons, but they mutually agreed to... Wow, David Wright's a nice guy. He literally said you can keep the money.
What?
He could have forced them to pay him.
That's unnecessary.
$27 million's a lot to just be like, nah.
Is it now?
27?
Of course it's a lot. $1 million's a lot.
You know that he finished his career 296 average, 242 home runs, 970 RBIs?
God, only 30 more RBIs. He would have 1,000, then he could retire a legend. Now he's kind of a legend.
Kelvin Herrera.
I'm kidding.
Kelvin Herrera and the White Sox have agreed to a two-year $18 million deal. So, free agent relief pitcher.
$9 million a year is pretty good.
Kelvin Herrera. Chicago White Sox, man. They're making moves, Jeff.
Making moves.
Maybe
making
Kelvin Herrera
moves.
Are we going to find out that Kelvin Herrera is also the brother-in-law to Manny Machado? Like he has another brother-in-law?
Sure, why not?
If you found that out, what would you say?
I'd be like, what is going on with this area of the family?
He was 2-3 last year. 17 saves and 38 strikeouts over 44 and a third. Is he a good addition for the White Sox?
Absolutely. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, it's going to benefit them in the long run regardless if he's...
He throws 100.
I mean...
He was one of the last players in Kansas City from the World Series team because they completely changed that roster.
They destroyed themselves, yeah. So any guy that was on a World Series roster is going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 4 years since then.
It seems like it's been forever. Seems like it's been forever since Madison Bumgarner won that World Series.
You're still on that?
Well, we were talking about it a lot, and it was 2014, right?
Yeah, so?
It's 2019. It's a long time, my friend.
Cool.
All right, well, I think we're done, man.
Yeah.
I think you should join us next Wednesday. Hopefully one of these guys will sign already, and it'll just – we haven't seen too many of the top 10 free agents signing. Like, it's not just these two. It's overall. And I'm not sure what baseball needs to do, but, man, it seems like this offseason is – it should be one with fireworks and excitement and drama, and we just really – it seems like it's just a show that will be canceled at the end of the season.
Wow. Bummer.
You know? I'm ready for the season to start.
We can actually talk about things that are happening. Yeah, absolutely.
Or even spring training, where we can talk about injuries and updates and new players and new locations and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And as always, I'm Jeff Malinoff. That's Mark Souza. And we will see you next time.